This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Glad we have those hour number two echoes recorded. I don't think I can do that today.
I kind of considered asking if you wanted to make one for such a special occasion.
Can you put me in echo? Do you know how to do that?
Live?
Yeah.
No,
we don't need the echo. Let's just try this. This is our number two. That's all I got.
I don't even need an echo for that, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't even think you should be doing that with your voice. You said it was a good thing we didn't have to do a new one today.
I'm talking in a much lower register than usual because I can't even get up here. if I went with my usual level of energy, this is what I would sound like.
I always bring my voice lower. This might surprise people, but my voice is higher than I am on air because I don't want to annoy people with my high-pitched voice.
The last thing I would want to do is annoy people with my voice, crying out loud. So how'd the show go while I was gone? Everything good?
Yes, it went well. Brandy and then Bose. And everything went well, but we missed you.
Well, I missed
you. I'm glad you got some sunshine, even though it didn't seem to do you much good.
No, I got sunshine. I played a lot of pickleball.
It is kind of wild how that thing has just caught on.
Not only did I play, I watched some of the pickleball national championships.
Yeah, everybody's talking about them. It's just crazy.
It's very hot. It's very, very hot sport. Yeah. My wife and I met a couple from Minneapolis. We played with them twice. I'm becoming a social creature, Nicole.
Lucky you.
I know. But I'm glad to be back too. I'm sorry that my voice is so annoying. So check this out. So yesterday, one of our daughters picked us up at the airport, 3:30 in the afternoon. So 4 o'clock, we're driving. We get on the express lanes. She's driving, and right after the Ship Canal Bridge, there's a huge homeless encampment on the left, west side of the express lanes. There's a huge homeless encampment on the right or east side of the express lanes. And the express lanes, it's 4 p.m. by the time we'd gotten from SeaTac to there. The express lanes are moving pretty good. The main line was jammed, but the express lanes were all going 60 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, about 100 yards in front of us, I see a guy running across all four, I don't know if it's four or five, express lanes from one homeless camp to the other. And my question remains to Bruce Harrell and to Jay Inslee and to everybody who allows this to continue. What are you going to wait for? Are you going to wait until somebody is killed out there? And not only are they dead, but the driver who hits them is going to be scarred for life. And you put up with this. You put up with and afternoon rush hour, homeless drug vagrants running across the freeway at 4 p.m. It's just insanity that this is permitted and they should do what Kent has done. Just say no camping allowed. None. You can, we'll get you help. We'll get you a roof. We'll put you in jail or you can get out. But you cannot camp in Seattle. That's the way it should be. But what do I know? And then I also find out that right around the same place there, near that exact same spot on I-5, they had just built a concrete column because they're building a new ramp that's going to go to 520. And it turns out that they had scaffolding at the top of this column. So it's a column and then it branches out so it looks like a gigantic T. And they found out this column that was built in July, so it's only 4 months old, that it needs to be demolished and rebuilt. so that they can continue this ramp from I-5 to 520. Because when they took away the scaffolding that was at the top of this concrete column, they saw that some of the concrete had just sloughed off, had broken off, and you could see the rebar that was underneath it. Why is this happening? We've got bridges in Seattle. I talk about this a lot. The Aurora Bridge, the I-5 Ship Canal Bridge. These are bridges that were built, one of them 90 years ago, the other one 60 years ago. They're still fine. The West Seattle Bridge, once the Democrat machine took over Seattle and they took the highest bid, they built the shoddiest product. It was supposed to be a 75-year bridge to West Seattle. It didn't even last half of that. And now we're seeing that a lot of the Sound Transit projects, remember they built that parking garage on the east side? They had to tear it down before any car parked in it because it was cracking. It was so shoddy. Now we've got this. I just fear. Back in the 60s and prior, there were actually dedicated engineers and craftsmen who cared about what they do. But now too many of these products are being built by shoddy people. I can't wait to find out what Lynn Brewer, our guest last half hour, what she finds out about Sound Transit and how they've pushed forward despite warnings that a lot of the stuff they're doing isn't going to work out. But it's amazing to me when I heard about this I-5 column that has to be torn down 4 months after it's built. I'd love to hear your thought. This is your money. This is your tax dollars. Shoot me a text. 888-973-CHIRO. 888-973-5476. Nicole, you probably talked about this story while I was gone, but there were some stories that are so irresistible, I can't help but want to talk about them. Did you talk about the Christmas and Hanukkah decorations?
We did, but that's okay. I was waiting for your thoughts on it.
Well, yeah, so this is a good story that Jason Rance had. It's up at mynorthwest.com. If you are a King County employee who works remotely, you better not have any sign of Christmas or Hanukkah decorations in your Zoom picture, even if it's in your home office, because King County Human Resources has warned employees not to decorate their workspace with Christmas or Hanukkah decorations because they fear it may offend employees. So here's my take on this. There isn't one person in the history of mankind who has been offended by a coworker's Christmas or Hanukkah decorations. It has never happened. People pretend to be offended all the time. People make it up because there is nothing that is a higher aspiration for too many people in our society today than being a victim. And if the guy across the office from you has a little menorah on his desk, well, then you can pretend that you're a victim. And you can also, in the process, try to just mess with that coworker's life. But the King County Equities Manager for Human Resources, they put out a memo, Guidelines for Holiday Decorations for King County Employees. Before adding any decorations to your workspace, including your virtual workspace, consider the likely effect of such decorations on all of the employees in and outside your work group. What does that mean? Who's affected? If I have Christmas lights on the wall in my home, in my office, and I'm on a Zoom meeting with other employees, and they see that I have Christmas lights behind them, how in the world would that be affecting anybody? It's not. It's all a made up lie. But that's the only way they can have six-figure jobs like Gloria Gazzajo has, Workforce Equity Manager for the Department of Human Resources. It's a phony job. And to justify it, you have to have phony positions on fake concerns from people who claim to be offended, but they never were. It's just insanity. All right, next up. How was my take on this versus what you guys did earlier in the week?
Similar, but it's all right.
Okay.
But next, yours was much more, you know.
Horse.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah, okay. I'm half horse today. I'm half man, half horse. I believe that's a centaur. Centaur? Is that how it's pronounced? C-E-N-T-A-U-R. Can you look up the pronunciation of centaur for me, please?
Sure.
C-E-N-T-A-U-R. Centaur? Tar? Maybe it's tar? Or tower? Let's see. Up next is... Oh, this is a scary story. So, Bill Gates, he comes out a couple of days ago and says that even though he's been pushing the vaccine on everybody, including the kids, he's just now coming to learn that COVID really just affected the old people in the most deadly of ways and really didn't affect healthy young people at all. Now, of course, I said that 2 years ago and was threatened to be canceled because I dared stray from the official narrative, the Bill Gates approved narrative. Now, Bill Gates is admitting that this was just a pandemic mainly of the elderly.
It wasn't until early February when I was in a meeting that experts at the foundation said there's no way, you know, this, there's been too much travel without diagnosis for us to contain this. And then at that point, we didn't really understand the fatality rate. You know, we didn't understand that it's a fairly low fatality rate and that it's a disease mainly of the elderly, kind of.
Who is he trying to fool here? He claims, this is phony as I'm offended by your Christmas lights. Bill Gates says that they didn't know back then that this wasn't affecting young people much. It was mainly affecting old people. I mean, look, I think very highly of my smarts. But, man, I must be a billion times smarter than Bill Gates because I knew that back then. But he couldn't figure it out. This is just an all-out lie. Listen to that again, what he pretends to be saying now.
Fatality rate, you know, we didn't understand that it's a full without diagnosis for us to contain this. And then at that point, we didn't really understand the fatality rate. You know, we didn't understand that it's a fairly low fatality rate and that it's a disease mainly of the elderly, kind of like flu is, although a bit different than that. So that was a pretty scary period,
right,
where the world didn't go on alert, including the United States, nearly as fast as it needed to.
They didn't know that it was mainly a pandemic of the elderly. That's just crazy that he's trying to pass that off now. Just absolutely amazing. And then Alex Berenson, who's just uncovered great stuff on his Substack on the whole COVID vax nonsense, he just got more data. He had some data a few months ago that I shared with you. But the latest country to report birth and death rate compared to a year ago, latest to announce is Taiwan in October. Taiwan is a almost fully vaccinated nation. October 2022, deaths in Taiwan are up 19% from a year ago. And births in Taiwan are down 7% from a year ago. We are starting to see, as more and more data comes in, that the birth rates in the most vaccinated nations are falling, in many cases, rather precipitously. And as somebody who hopes to be a grandpa someday, when I hear data like this, it scares the heck out of me. Because I'm pretty sure all of my girls would like to have kids someday. And to hear how many people are being affected and that the most fully vaccinated nations, deaths up versus a year ago, births down versus a year ago. That is very scary news. You got a pronunciation, Andrew, for centaur?
Yeah, I do. One moment.
Okay, thanks.
Here it comes.
Okay.
Centaur.
Tor. Centaur.
Yes.
And am I correct? It's half man, half horse?
That is the correct definition, yes.
That's me today. Half man, half horse.
I think it's a horse's butt, man's head, right?
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yes, the chest, a majestically sculpted chest, torso. In my case, and a very handsome head with flowing locks. That's the best of both worlds. I mean, you kind of describe it as a horse's patootie, but horse is a beautiful animal, and the muscle leanness of these horses just I would love to have that as my lower body. I would have been the fastest kid at all at Ballard High.
There you go.
Okay. Did you watch? Not to change the subject, because I got a lot of other news to get to. Here's the other thing I did on vacation, even though I was 1,500 miles away, mm-hmm. in a beautiful place with, you know, warm weather. I watched probably about 20 episodes of Yellowstone to catch up to the season debut, because I don't remember what happened last season. So I watched, they had this marathon, and I just watched so much Yellowstone. So I didn't have to worry about the show.
The last season was not my favorite. That was probably my least of all of them. But
I'm not that excited about the 2-hour season 5 debut, which is...
Wait, you haven't watched it yet?
No, I watched it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my wife and I made sure we were free on Sunday night so we could watch it. But it had 12 million viewers, which is just crazy. Other than NFL football, there is no show that has more viewers than Yellowstone. But I don't know if I'm going to like this new season.
I know. I think I believe this will probably be the last. I'm just guessing based on the way that some of the actors talk. But I think they're trying to wrap it up. So it's not as exciting when you're trying to like wrap all this storylines up, right?
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, I think it'll be great because he's got a pretty good track record.
I think it'll be better than last season.
I don't like the gore. I like the gore.
I don't like the old men getting beat up. I don't like any of that.
I know.
I didn't. I also don't like animals getting murdered.
That's what made me think of it, because
they don't like it.
They just shoot a horse. And...
heartbreaking. I just have to keep reminding myself it didn't really happen. I mean, it obviously has in real life, but that horse still roaming.
They do shoot horses.
I know. I just don't. I don't need to think about it.
Well, it's the humane thing to do.
I know.
Okay.
I'm well aware. Or you know, buffalo and do get hit by cars, but.
Are you familiar with the book? They shoot horses, don't they? Have you heard of that book?
No.
It's about heroin.
What?
Seriously, look it up. Look it up. Okay. All right, I gotta go now, because Brandy's gonna be live today, right?
She is.
For 2 segments. Okay, that there is your fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast Dory's fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. They shoot horses, don't they? It was also a 1969 American psychological drama film. Directed by the great Sidney Pollack. There you go. All right. I gotta go, because Randy's coming in next.
Save your voice.
Check the news. What's that?
Save your voice.
Yeah, no, save my voice. Check the news, and then Brandy crows. Hey, that rhymes. Here on the Dory Monson Show.
Hot time to come to Jesus. You got skeletons in your closet, spitting all over your face.
What? If you have skeletons in your closet, Brandy Cruz is going to find them. She joins us live as she does every Thursday. How do I sound, Brandy? Let's start with me. How do you feel about me today?
I'm a little creeped out, to be honest. Are you okay?
I'm fine. Never better. You kidding me? I figured since you just did the show for 3 days that... you know, we couldn't ask you to come in today because I'm a little hoarse.
Yeah, a little?
A little. Just a little hoarse.
Yeah, no, I'll do most of the talking. I could come in anyway. I'm down in the beautiful city of Vancouver, Washington today, live on the Dory Monson Show from Vancouver.
Vancouver, Washington, birthplace of?
You? I don't know.
My wife. My wife is from Vancouver. Yeah.
Sorry, I know it well. Oh, that's right. You were born on the mean streets of Ballard, actually on the street.
Literally on the streets. Well, let's start with you now. How'd the show go? You had a lot to talk about. I was trying to keep up with the news, and every time I saw a good topic, I was happy for you.
Oh, good. Yeah, I was busy 2 days. I mean, we still were counting votes here. So we had elections that were up in the air, back and forth and back and forth. I was kind of bummed on Tuesday that Donald Trump didn't time his announcement with your show. That would have been helpful.
I know. Well, I wish you'd waited till I had come back, but that's just me being selfish. Yeah,
well,
I wish you would have waited
until 2025.
Yeah, I know that you have never been a Trump fan. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have TDS, but I never liked the guy, and I never voted for the guy.
Okay. You see, I like him. I voted for him once. I voted for him in 20, not in 16. But I didn't vote for whoever. Who did he go against in 16? I can't even remember.
Hillary.
Oh, yeah, Hillary. Yeah, her. Yeah. You know who got the third most votes in Washington State in 16?
Was it you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that actually true?
Well, at least the county auditor, no, it's not auditor, the county elections person in a few counties in our listening radius said that I came in third to them. It's fourth because there's somebody else on the ballot. Anyway, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because it's a national thing, but the more I analyze this, the more it seems like it's just a fait accompli that it's going to be DeSantis on the Republican side in 24.
I mean, a lot can change in the next year and a half while people come out, but I just don't see. I mean, there wasn't the excitement around Trump's announcement. There were a lot of groans from even people who had been pro-Trump, and I don't think that you can look at the results of the election and really wonder whether he's bringing the party down. And also, the amount of distractions that he brings to the table, his lack of ability to focus on the issues and not focus on the past, et cetera, et cetera. I did a poll. I know my polls on Twitter aren't exactly scientific, but like 90% of people who took it, and I think my audience is center right, 90% of people who took it said they did not want Trump to run again. And that was a pretty overwhelming percentage for me to see.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if they go head to head and primary each other. Okay, let's talk about local elections. I heard this is just still mind blowing to me. So according to his own father, this guy named Clyde Shavers is a pathological liar. Lied about so many aspects, including the stolen valor lie that he was a Navy submarine officer. And I heard that while I was gone, for one day, his opponent, Greg Gilday, pulled ahead. But then in the final count, the Democrats got Clyde Shavers over the hump. And that's amazing to me because the last votes counted would have been after his father exposed him as a pathological liar. So when I hear something like that, Brandy, I have so much trouble with our elections and how almost every single time around here, if somebody who's a Republican is ahead, the vote count extends out for weeks, and then they find just enough to get the Democrat ahead. It's amazing.
Well, I had been tracking the three counties that are in that district, and I think Greg Gilday, he did better in Snohomish County. But when I was looking at the ballots that were left to count on Friday, most of them, is it Island County? I think it's Island County.
Island County.
Yeah, most of them were left in Island County. And Clyde Shavers, even though he lied about his military service, was doing surprisingly well in Island County. And so I think what happened is, because you're right, it is unusual when you see, because what we saw from Greg Gilday is this slow and steady closing in on the gap. And then he surpassed Clyde Shavers by 15 votes, and I had a mini celebration when I was on the air with you. And then I think what happened is that was sort of the last of the Snohomish County ballots. And then you saw, you know, the Island County ballots, which there was thousands of those left to count. But I agree with you. You'd think they'd skew at least a little more in favor of Greg Gilday, but Clyde Shavers was really overperforming him in that county. And so I don't know. It's hard to say. It is weird to see that up and down, but I, having tracked the county numbers, there were far more ballots left to count in the county that Clyde Shavers was doing better in. And so I think Greg Gilday, it's like 200 or 300 votes, between 200 and 300. That's how much he trails by at this stage. I don't know if they've called that race or if there's any ballots left to count, but it's hard because this news, and it's not just his dad, right? It's not just his dad that said, hey, my son's a liar. It's kind of, yeah. I think it's kind of weird anybody's dad would put that in a letter and send it to their opponent's campaign. I'm not going to judge his motivations, but it's not in dispute that Clyde Shavers exaggerated his military service. There's screenshots of his campaign website, of campaign mailers. And it's not in dispute that he said he was an attorney, and then he realized that he didn't pass the bar. You know, that's why the Everett Herald pulled its endorsement. It's not just on the word of his dad, yeah, who may or may not like his politics or have a grudge against him. And so what happened is all that came out midway through. So ballots had already been out for a week. Who knows how many people had already turned them in. And I will say, I'm very curious. So there's a couple avenues here. What I was told is that there is a process by, let's say Greg Gilday loses by 100 votes. If you can find 100 people who say, I voted for Clyde Shavers based on a demonstrable lie, that you could have a process where you could get those people, you know, legally speaking, to say that and then have a redo of the election. I don't know if that's a route they're even going to attempt. And then the question is, do Democrats keep Clyde Shavers or do they force him to resign? I tend to doubt it, you know. And then appoint someone else they like.
Yeah, it's just another example of how sleazy things have gotten. All right, Brandi Kruse with it. Can you stick around for another segment?
Yes, sir. Well, I can't leave you flailing with that voice.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd much rather listen to you. Okay, Brandi Kruse, you can see her work at patreon.com/undivided, and we'll continue the conversation in just a moment here on The Dory Monson Show.
Jesus, you got skeletons in your closet, spitting all over your face.
Brandi Kruse has dropped by for her weekly visit. It's fading fast, Brandi. I don't know if I'm going to make it to 3 o'clock.
Your level of commitment is very impressive.
It's mainly a level of ego. I've actually convinced myself that my listeners would rather hear me sick than, because we knew you weren't available today, than, you know, like a best of or something. So I don't know. What do I know? Hey, a story I'm sure you talked about. Did you do much about the Teresa Mosqueda seemingly to support with a retweet this? We were coming back from the airport yesterday, Brandi. And it's amazing, especially through South Seattle. There's graffiti on every I-5 wall, yeah. You know, rather elaborate, some of it artistic, some of it hideous. And Teresa Mosqueda suggested that it's artistic expression.
Misunderstood. Yeah, if a city councilwoman retweets something and she said something about how it being a, you know, a good thought or something like that, obviously she's endorsing what was said. And I think it was Jason Rance who had done an article about this. I read that, just laughed. Because my favorite part of this, the quote she retweeted that she was, you know, all in agreement with, was that, you know, contracting with for-profit graffiti removal companies is just enriching them.
Jeez.
So she didn't want to enrich the for-profit graffiti removal companies. Now, to your point, I think there are some, you know, graffiti walls that are done intentionally, you know, where the city allows this space to be taken over by artists. And I think that's all fine. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about graffiti all over the city, like you said, on every open wall. Yeah. And it just makes the city look gross. And then they go in and they try to clean it, and then it happens again right away. I do think you have to keep going back to clean it. But there also needs to be some consequences. I don't know about you, too. I always wonder. It's something I've always wondered about. You know when there's, like, graffiti on the overpasses of the freeway? How do they do that? Do they, like James Bond, go down on a rope and paint?
I'd love to find that out. Or sometimes it's on the signs above the freeway. So you don't even have the overpass access to it. So, yeah, there's some out there. I have no idea. But I always think I got to get an answer to that. Maybe you've inspired me to tell you what. If anybody knows.
It's genuinely something I think about all the time.
Yeah. If anybody knows, for real, text us at 888-973-CHIRO. 888-973-5476.
Sully has done a report on this. And so I think he does know, but he's actually, I believe, out sick with the same thing you have, and John has,
okay,
and Jacob has.
Because I was there a couple days ago, but I love that you say, Dory, text us if you really know, as if people aren't going to text with funny answers as well, which I think would be entertaining.
Well, let's see. Yeah, I haven't gotten any answers yet, but I'm waiting. I'm waiting patiently. And then, did you cover the Ingram kids and the Seattle school kids walk out on Monday?
Yeah, it's pretty, well, what happened at Ingram is, all the kind of suspicions were confirmed about that situation. And, the kids walk out. I will say of the kids, because I know that students have walked out at Seattle Public Schools for like anything under the sun over the past 3 years. I mean, truly. I will say, though, some of those kids who I saw on the news had a more nuanced message than elected leaders in Seattle did. You had elected leaders who were like, this is a gun problem. But you had some kids who I heard who were like, hey, we need to figure out why this wasn't like caught sooner. Why this disagreement between the group wasn't something that somebody caught on to. And so I was impressed with a few of the kids who had a more nuanced message than guns bad.
Yeah, but still the one word. Guns is a four-letter G word. The one four-letter G word that nobody will utter is gang. They always call it gun violence. They refuse to call it gang violence. I've heard from parents at Ingram who told me that these two groups, these two gangs, basically, have been jumping each other in bathrooms, and it's been escalating, and that everybody knows it, but they don't do anything about it until some kid, a 17-year-old kid, gets shot and killed. And the reluctance of politicians, of the media, and of the kids who are walking out to all acknowledge that this one was a gang problem, unless you're ready to honestly talk about that, then how in the world can we get to any solutions?
Right. You can never solve a problem if you won't even admit what the problem is. And this is a prime example of that. Homelessness is a prime example of that. The fact that they want to say it's a housing affordability problem when we know it's a drug crisis. And all of that because they don't want to offend people. And it's like, okay, either you allow people to continue to die or you risk offending a handful of the loudest voices in the city. Like, which one is it going to be? Because you're right. It is a gang problem. And anyone who works in the city, any police officer will tell you that 14 years old is not too young to be in a gang. I mean, reasonably speaking, it's too young. But also, that's the age that they're seeing these kids get involved in these gangs. And so they need to be focusing their efforts on that. And sure, you want to talk about guns, fine. But don't talk about guns alone and act as if that's a real solution to this problem.
More than ever, the gangs are recruiting younger and younger kids, 12, 13, 14, because of the no youth jail policy of Dow Constantine's. And they tell them, if you're out in the corner slinging the heroin, if you get caught by the police, nothing's going to happen to you. So, yeah, the gang leaders are recruiting younger and younger and telling them there's no downside. Brandy Cruz, you were fantastic today. Thanks for helping out.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Feel better.
Okay, thank you. See Brandy's work at patreon.com/undivided. We'll check the news and then the big lead at 2 next. Here on the